Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, Purdy Insurance. Hey, this is your last chance to sign up for the Truman H. Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament, which is Wednesday. We'll be out at the Susquehanna Valley Country Club, and I'm looking forward to it. I think we're going to have a great day out there. Maybe a little cooler than we like, but you know what? It's going to be great. Sean's going to be out there. An autograph tent at the sixth hole for the suit. It's so much easier for him now. It's only seven letters, the suit. And then he cut it down to just suit. Thought that was a little lazy, but that's just, you know, it's just my thought on the deal. But, yeah, I am, man, I've been looking forward to this for weeks. Getting out there to the Susquehanna Valley Country Club and seeing everybody again, playing a round of golf and seeing Tom and the gang from Sunbury Motors and seeing Corey and the gang over at Brewers Outlet, seeing all the Purdies and all, you know, Steve and everybody over there. And, you know, Bonnie and the greater Susquehanna Valley YMCA. I'm looking forward to seeing everybody. Judy Carr, everybody out there. We'll have a great time. Great, great time. Sean did not get a chance to go last year. He gets to go this year.
Yep, we made a point to change that.
So he gets a chance to be there. And this is all part of the Truman H. Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament. It's what, the 26th, I believe. And it is the sixth year that we've been there. So I'm thrilled that we're part of it. And I'm looking forward. Come on out and, you know, if you get a chance, we're going to be there from 3 to 5 doing the show. We're going to be there playing golf in the morning. But 3 to 5 doing the show. And if you get a chance to stop by and say hi, please stop by. I'd like to meet as many of you as possible. Great listeners that we have, all of you. Great listeners. And, of course, our show today is brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, Jordan Rodriguez of the Charlotte Observer on the NFL draft in a moment. First of all, our play-by-play call of the day.
The pitch from Lyles.
High drive, way back, warning track, wall, touch them all, splashdown, walk-off, Daniel Descalzo, and the Diamondbacks walking off here. They win it 2-0 in 13 innings.
I was listening to that game yesterday, and you know when I stopped listening? It was in the 12th inning. I was driving in the car, coming back from the golf course, and I had the game on. Because I have Sirius XM. So, you know, I was just kind of flipping around the dial. And, you know, here the Diamondbacks had a chance to win the 12th. They had Paul Goldschmidt up, who's just a great player, probably a great player many of you haven't heard of. But he's a great player. And he couldn't get the run across. I pulled in the driveway, and then the 13th Descalzo won it. I'll tell you, Rendon had a big day yesterday, huh? The three home runs, the 10 RBIs. What'd they win the game? I want to say they won the game 24-3. The Nationals beat the Mets 24-5. It was 24-5.
Yeah, Mets took two out of three from the series, but boy, the bats woke up yesterday for the Mets, and now some breaking news that came out earlier today regarding the Mets. Looks like Noah Syndergaard had like a torn lat, something like that.
Yeah.
Initial report, they didn't say how long he would be out because of that.
That is bad news for them. All right, let's bring in Jordan Rodriguez from the Charlotte Observer to talk about the NFL draft. Jordan, welcome back. Thanks for carving out a few minutes.
Thanks, guys. It's always a pleasure to be on this show. You know that.
Thanks. I appreciate it, Jordan. It was interesting watching the draft. For the most part, I watched NFL Network and Mike Mayock, but there was a point where, you know, you just flip back and forth a little bit. Mel Kiper was upset that the Panthers took Christian McCaffrey. Now, I realize that if Mel has you rated eighth, then that's the person you have to take. I got that. All right. But it seemed to me on the surface this was a pick that a need pick. Is that correct?
Well, it wasn't just a need pick, Steve. It was also a pick that the Panthers believe, and I also believe, will evolve their offense into a place where the last year or so it's just been really stagnant. And having a guy like Christian McCaffrey, who you not only is a weapon on the field in multiple ways, but also you can add some really creative wrinkles to your offensive scheme around a player like that, the way that we saw from Stanford over the last several years. And they just seem really excited about having the opportunity to be able to do that, because you can't do that with every player. So adding a guy like Christian McCaffrey really allows them to move their offense forward and make it kind of a lot more progressive than it has been in years past.
And what about the situation overall with the draft? Did you like the way it played out for the Panthers based on the need? Because you watched this team so closely last season. Did they get what they needed?
Yeah, I think they had a heck of a draft, actually. It was really interesting watching them kind of maneuver, because I think they were kind of at peace with the fact that they figured they weren't going to get Leonard Fournette, which I know was also a guy that was very high on their draft board, but was also doing things for them, would also do things for them that they have always done. He's kind of the Jonathan Stewart style of running back, where he's like the power run and you know, the running has to run from under center, and I would do all these different things that maybe they've just been doing for the last several years, and now they have to shift and they have to change and kind of progressivize. So I think that adding Christian and then doubling down with a guy like Curtis Samuel, who will be really dynamic in the slot and also offer them the opportunity to disguise a lot of their plays, just where he can line up. He's a great disguise weapon. I think that'll be great for them. And then adding, you know, the tackle and everything, I think will be great.
The Samuel pick I thought was a great pick. I mean,
tremendous pick.
He is a dynamic playmaker that I thought was underutilized at Ohio State.
Absolutely. And it's interesting, too. I was actually going to ask you about this. I almost texted you, Steve.
You should have.
I almost texted you. Well, it's so crazy. Obviously, I just wouldn't.
Sure.
But I was sitting there thinking to myself, how in the heck, look at all these Ohio State guys coming off the board right now, and all these Michigan guys coming off the board right now. Like, how in the heck did anyone beat them last year? And it's just incredible. I mean, it just was incredible. And a guy like Curtis Samuel, you think, man, what a weapon for any team.
Oh, and again, I mean, I thought he was underutilized. And I think that was one of the keys to the Penn State game, is I think he only got two touches the entire game. One was a 74-yard touchdown run. And as for the Michigan thing, it just shows what kind of great recruiter Brady Hoke was.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Sorry, Jim.
Sorry, Jim, yeah. Man, it just was really entertaining to watch, and it's going to be interesting to see next year. I think I've been hearing lots of chatter about Saquon Barkley already being inked in as that number one running back next year.
I got to ask you about Kelvin Benjamin. Now, there are some reports that say he ended up at 280. Ron Rivera says, look, he's a little overweight. So what's the story?
So he's not 280.
let's start with that. He is south of 280.
So he is not 280. There has been a lot of talk about that lately, but I just want to clear the air with that. He's not 280 pounds. He's also not where he's supposed to be. We were not kind of given that number where he actually showed up to OTAs, but his playing weight is about 245, 250, and he was up, rumor has it, he was up around 260 by the end of last season. But last season he finished out the season really nice, so it wasn't really that big of a concern. Showing up to camp after the winter with a little extra fluff, is not great. Obviously, players get fined and that kind of a thing. And his fifth year option, the deadline for that is Wednesday.
Wow.
And I think that they're kind of making him sweat a little bit. But I don't know if that sweating will help knock off any of those pounds away wrestlers.
Well, he's 6'5", for one thing. This is not distributed over a 6'1" frame. He is 6'5".
Yeah, so that's helpful.
And his playing weight last year was about 245. I just don't think you can have Pablo Sandoval playing wideout.
Yes, I think people were more worried that he looks a little bit more like Bartolo than Pablo right now.
that is an issue. When you looked at the rest of the draft, what were a couple things that stuck out to you, pro and con?
You mean Panthers-wise or just everything?
Just overall, because you watched the whole thing.
Well, I didn't like that dang orangutan.
I agree with you. I'm like, get that thing out.
You know, I know that's an unpopular opinion because it's at this point, you know, at round 5, 6, 7, it's supposed to be fun and everything. But for that one kid who gets picked and it's the biggest day of his life, and I'm kind of on, I think it was Mayock that went on the spiel about
yes,
the orangutan.
And Mayock
I'm
was
with
right.
him on this.
I'm with Mayock on this. Because guess what? You're right. It's the guy's biggest day where he makes the next step. An orangutan?
I mean, that's just, I would be upset by that if I were that kid. I mean, he probably is like, you know what, I don't care, I'm on an NFL team. But at this point, like, man, I just wish, I wish better for him. I really did.
Well, you know what, we'll root for him. What the heck? We'll root for him. I mean, you know, it could be worse. I mean, you know, your father could be rejected by Adidas, Nike, and Under Armour in the same weekend. Oh, wait, that's a different sport. Okay. So.
Oh, my gosh. That was really funny, too. That was really funny following that. Yeah. Now, he's a Charlotte guy. We've been covering him a lot because they have some ties to Charlotte. So it was pretty interesting. Yeah, LeVar is a character. But.
Yeah. Yes, the Faye Dunaway. No wire hangers. All right. Within the division, where the Panthers dominated 2 years ago, last year had the fallback, but still have plenty of talent to get back to the top. Within the division, what did you see draft-wise there?
So I think the NFC South got a lot more interesting. I like the Falcons' addition of Tack McKinley. I think that that's really one of the few things that they really needed to really complete their team. And I think they got him. I think he's a heck of a dynamic player. I've been watching him for a long time, and I think he's going to really be an impact player over there. So that's something that the Panthers really need to keep an eye out for. And then Tampa Bay, I like what they did over there with the addition of O.J. Howard and Chris Godwin. I was heartbroken.
Yeah,
he went to Tampa Bay.
I know.
I think that's a really great threat. I think it really puts people on notice. But Carolina, it's interesting because Carolina kind of foresaw this coming of these really dynamic tight ends and understood that because of their experience with the Saints when they had Jimmy Graham, yep, that they needed to really boost and bolster their coverage in that area against those mismatched players, like
right,
those big tight ends like O.J. Howard, Jimmy Graham. So that's when they drafted Shaq Thompson a couple of years ago.
Right.
And they're sticking him at that hybrid, that Buffalo nickel, where he can be really dominant in coverage, but doesn't necessarily have to stay in that second tier. He can kind of float from secondary and in the linebacker unit. So he can really play all over the field on defense. So that was really a smart move that they made. So I think they're not as worried about that that O.J. Howard piece. He is a really heck of a player, but in terms of being prepared for that, because they saw Jimmy Graham, I think they're a little bit better prepared for that. Mm-hmm. Now, going against a guy like Tack McKinley, and their line is still under a lot of scrutiny, I think that will be a really interesting thing to watch next year.
Always a pleasure. Appreciate it, and glad we're on the same page with the orangutan.
Thanks, guys. Really glad to talk to you.
Jordan Rodriguez, Charlotte Observer. See, we're all on the same page about the orangutan.
It's like,
I know it's the draft. I'm not trying to come up with some innovative ways.
But no. Being announced from the International Space Station, cool.
Being announced by an orangutan,
not cool.
We'll come back with more in a moment. Final half hour, we're going to talk about the lack of a shoe deal for Lonzo Ball. We'll talk about that in a few moments on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Purdy Insurance.
If you're not insured with the Purdy Insurance Agency, you may not be getting the most out of your insurance coverage. Locally owned and family operated for over 90 years, the experienced team at Purdy will compare your rates and coverage among a number of nationally recognized insurers to make sure you're getting the most out of your insurance dollars. And once you join the Purdy family of customers, you'll experience service and claims handling that's second to none. Call 1-800-677-2478 to see what Purdy Insurance can do for you.
Big storms moving into the area here. Not here yet, but radar looks rather ominous.
And pretty much the entire greater central Susquehanna Valley under a tornado watch until 10 o'clock. Yeah. So just watch out for those strong storms. AccuWeather says hail, damaging winds, flooding, downpours could accompany them. So with the downpours and flooding, if you're at or near a poor drainage area, just keep monitor of this situation. And we'll be sending out WKOK text alerts or email alerts as we move through the evening if they are needed.
Absolutely. I say here, rain starting here, State College at 89 minutes. I already know my grandson's Little League game has been postponed for tonight.
Yeah, a lot of the high school folks didn't waste time late morning, early afternoon postponing their events today, too. So
it didn't take long to postpone things, and can completely understand that. We were playing in the Purdy tournament, this had to be 4 or 5 years ago. And we're on a hole, and Suit looks over and says, quote, boy, about 15, 20 minutes is going to be here. It's going to be a bad storm. No, which I give him complete credit for looking over and kind of getting a feel for how quickly it might get there. I thought, well, it's pretty good. Okay, so at this point, he's on a good path. He looks over, he sees the storm, he guesstimates about how long it's going to be before it gets there. I'm impressed. The next part didn't impress me. That's the part where it started to rain, and he pulled under a tree. I looked at him, I said, what are you doing? He said, well, what do you mean what I'm doing? It's raining out. I said, we're changing spots. And I got out of the cart and I went around and made him move over. And then I started pulling out. He goes, what are you doing? I said, I'm going back to the clubhouse. He said, you just told me that is a bad thunder and lightning storm out up there that's about 10 to 15 minutes away. I said, and the first time it rains, you pull under a tree. I said, who raised you, wolves? What's going on here? It's like I couldn't believe it. And all of a sudden, these other carts saw us going back to the clubhouse, and they said, hey, if they're going back, we're going, and like we led this little caravan. By the time we got to the clubhouse, they sent the horn out to get everybody off the course. It's like 5 years ago. I looked at him. I thought, so what are you doing? So we're under it's raining out. So we're under a tree.
Caddyshack, Reverend Scene, hello.
Unbelievable. Wow.
Weather around here Wednesday, fingers crossed, shaping up to be a...
It looks good.
Dry,
just chilly.
Yeah, a little cool.
A little cooler.
May not hit 60.
Yeah, that's fine.
Dry day, take that. You got the weather gear for that.
Good golf weather. That's fine. I mean, 1 year we were over in the practice range, and it was a little chilly at that point. Like 4 years ago, we're over there. Suit's over there with his own personal ash can, staying warm. I'm like, what are we doing? Does he worry you?
He does.
Yeah. I mean, now that you've sat in that chair for over a year, You're seeing things my way now, aren't you?
I've turned. It didn't take me that long to turn the corner. Come on.
I'm just saying. Ever since you've been sitting in that chair, I noticed your defense of him has is dialed back more and more every week. Yeah. You know what? You're right.
He's teeing off left and right about how bad the draft went for the Steelers. And it's like, I like the Steeler draft. I'm going back and forth with him. He kept saying, I agree with you. It's like, but you're ripping the draft to shreds and you're agreeing with him.
I like the Steeler draft. I like the Eagles draft. I really like the Redskins draft. I thought getting Jonathan Allen off the top was a huge pick for them. I liked it a lot. I thought the Ravens did pretty well. I mean, you think about the local teams to our area. The Jets, I did not like their draft. The Giants did need offensive line help, but there weren't many good offensive linemen in this draft. I liked what the Giants did in the draft. I thought Tomlinson was a good run stopper in two. First round pick, the tight end out of Ole Miss. Like him a lot. No, I thought the Giants did. I really liked what they did in the draft a lot. The Jets draft, I didn't like at all. Ravens was good. I thought the Redskins draft was really good. I thought the Eagles draft was really good. I thought the Steelers draft outside the long snapper is really good. Now, this may be the greatest long snapper ever, but...
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Which, by the way, that's where we'll be on Wednesday. We'll be overlooking the Kia dealership, won't we?
Absolutely.
As part of the Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament and today's show, brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to PurdyInsurance.com. Looking forward to the Truman H. Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament, which is Wednesday, Susquehanna Valley Country Club. You can get yourself and your foursome in here in the last minute here today. So, there you go. Bozos of the day. Now, I realize that if you are writing articles, I do completely understand this, that if you're writing articles, you've got to come up with material. Okay. So, one of the standard articles that's written on Thursday, the first Thursday in February, is grading out recruiting. First article written Sunday or Monday after the draft, grading out the draft. In reality, it means zero. Nothing. But I also understand why they have to write it. I mean, look, you've got to come up with something every single day. And when you're trying to come up with something every single day, that's a standard one to come up with. I completely get it. But it really is irrelevant. All right, now let's get to something I want to talk about earlier, but I want to get to it here. Story comes out on Friday. I'll freely admit I was listening to Mike Greenberg on Mike and Mike this morning on ESPN2. And Doris Burke either was late or it was held up or was at a bad spot with a cell, something they couldn't get her on. So, Mike Greenberg is one of the best in the business at transitions. I think his lead-ins to break to get you interested in the next segment are, to me, textbook that any young broadcaster who wants to get into this business should be listening to. Now, I've always told my class that. But he brought up something today on the show. You know, in this extra segment, where to his credit, he had another slice of material to go to in case a guest was having a problem. either with a cell or connection or whatever. And that was about LeVar Ball. I thought, well, okay, this will be good. Or it's about Lonzo Ball and shoe companies. And we talked about this Friday, right, where Lonzo Ball, Adidas, Nike, and Under Armour have all said, no, we're not going to go in on the big baller brand, and we're not going to sign you to a shoe deal. And Mike Greenberg essentially did not like the delight that was taken by people in conversation around him or on Twitter about the fact he didn't get a shoe deal. Okay. That's commentary on social media and so forth, and I understand that. Now, of course, you know my thoughts and my feelings on such subjects, Sean. It always comes down to me to two words. Who cares? I don't care if he gets a shoe deal. What do I care? If he gets a shoe deal, I'm completely thrilled for him. If he doesn't get a shoe deal, so be it. You know, the NBA is an interesting dynamic now that Lonzo Ball is entering into. A mere 42 years ago, John Havlicek won 8 NBA titles to go in an NCAA title at Ohio State. He won 8 NBA titles. Now, this is a guy who not only was a part of 8 championship teams, but was a big reason for the championships. He averaged over 20 points a game in the regular season, 7 rebounds a game, nearly 5 assists a game. In the playoffs, even better, at 22 points a game in the playoffs. John Havlicek was a great player. He played 16 years in the league. 16 years. The first 12 years, he needed a part-time job to supplement his NBA income in the offseason. The last 4 years of his career, he finally made enough money where he didn't need to work outside of the NBA. Now, that's just 40 years ago. 40. Hey, this isn't 1945 I'm talking about. This is 1975 I'm talking about. 1975, he still had a part-time job in the offseason. He didn't have a shoe deal or anything like that, or commercial endorsements or whatever. Didn't have any of that. You know, the New York Knicks, Willis Reed, Pearl Monroe, I mean, they all worked off-season jobs to supplement their NBA income because the NBA was not the colossus it is today. And when I hear that, essentially because they're turned off by the father's demands, that he might not get a shoe deal, I don't care if he gets a shoe deal. And it's very hard for the common person to relate to whether he gets a shoe deal or not. And I think when you do these jobs, I think you've got to have a well-rounded feel for society and not be in the bubble of LeBron got a shoe deal for this much, you should get a shoe deal for this much, and so forth. That's not how the common man can't relate to that. I mean, for the average person that lives in the valley, who's busting their backsides to make ends meet, they can't relate to this. Remember, Lonzo Ball will get drafted within the first 5 picks. He'll get a 3-4 year guaranteed contract. I think it's 4 years. 4 year guaranteed contract. And he'll be making 7 figures in that guaranteed contract. And then if he does well, he has an opportunity in the second contract to really cash in. And the third contract, he can go for the max. This is all without a shoe deal. His backup plan happens to be his NBA salary. Now, I realize that shoe companies are making deals with draft picks that come out as an investment just like you would make an investment, say, I don't know, in precious minerals, silver, gold, something like that. Like Sean, for example, would get in on silver at $18 an ounce. Sean's doing that with the hope that maybe he gets to $30 an ounce. All right, well, that's about what Nike, Under Armour, and Adidas do. They get in on a college prospect early with the idea that 5-10 years from now, that college prospect who's now a bona fide professional is having a really great professional career that's pushing their brand, Nike, Adidas, or Under Armour, making them look good. So I understand the investment part of it. But you are talking about, for example, an individual in Lonzo Ball who's never accomplished anything significant. I mean, what has he accomplished of great significance in his career so far? He's played high school basketball and 1 year of college. Okay. So his father, of course, who's done a great job of alienating everybody along the way, LeBron, Michael Jordan, Charles Barkley, UCLA teammate thing's the one that really got me. Looked to me like Thomas Welsh, TJ Leaf, who, by the way, is also in the draft, and Bryce Alford. All seemed to play decently to me against Arizona and kind of kept them in the game of the Pac-12 championship game. I'm trying to think, which starter didn't have a great game? Do you remember which starter didn't have a great game against Arizona?
I could have sworn it was Lonzo Ball.
I thought he had, 8 points, 4 turnovers? It might have been him. Which one of those four, Alford, Leaf, Welsh, or Ball, got sliced and diced by De'Aaron Fox at Kentucky? Which one was that again?
I think the guys in the paint held their own. I would have to say Lonzo Ball.
Yeah. Two biggest games of the year are the two games where he did not play his best basketball. Now, is that going to hurt his draft status? Absolutely not. What I see in him is a little bit better shooting Jason Kidd. And if that's what he ends up being in his career, I think he is on a path to have a great career. He's unselfish on the court. He is not a good passer. He's a great passer. He's a decent shooter. He's got a nice jump shot. Not bad. Can get to the bucket. And defensively, I don't really quite have a handle yet. And I've watched him in several games, but I don't quite have a handle yet on what kind of defender he is. I mean, he's better than Jahlil Okafor, but then again, the suit is a better defender than Jahlil Okafor. At least he'll earn his 5 fouls, his 6 fouls, and get out of there with some dignity. But, you know, this is a lot of pressure to put on a young man that he's got to come through for the entire family. Well, I mean, it's the way the household works. Okay, fine. I understand that. That's their household, and if that's how they want to conduct their household, that's their business. But to say that, you know, you don't like other people enjoying the fact that he's not getting a shoe contract is wrong. What they have to remember when they make comments like that is that other people are leading their lives trying to make ends meet. We're going to have the privilege, and I mean the privilege, of playing in a charity golf tournament on Wednesday. We're going to be there with some people who have been able to make donations, and they've been able to do very well with their own businesses and their own lives, and they'll probably bring some employees with them who are working hard, making ends meet, paying mortgages and things like that. But it's very difficult for the person in the train station or the people in the train station he ran into to sit there and relate to the fact that a guy that's going to get a multi-million dollar NBA draft deal, which means he's set, will not at the moment get the added bonus of a shoe deal. Right? Every single person on that train he rode with doesn't have a shoe deal. hey, it's not the worst break in life. If you want to see among the worst breaks in life, I mean, we've got to keep it real here, right? Go over to CHOP. Take a trip to CHOP, Children's Hospital of Philadelphia. Right? You want to talk about strain, stress, bad breaks? I mean, the number of times in my life I've had to go to Boston Children's Hospital, you know, you're going through your own thing with your own children, because I've had two that had to go up there. Or at Geisinger at Janet Weiss. You know, go over to Janet Weiss. And all these families hoping and praying that everything's going to be okay in their lives with their children. But what happens is that you then see other children. I remember at Boston Children's, we eventually had to go to the 10th floor. But I remember, of course, the elevator would stop at 4, 5, 6 was really heartbreaking. That was the cancer floor for children. See youngsters get in the elevator with in a wheelchair, no hair. Breaks your heart. It's not your child, but it breaks your heart. Now that's real. That's real. I want every person to get everything they want in life. I hope Lonzo Ball gets a great shoe contract. Good for him. If he gets it and his family gets it, good for them. I'm happy for them if they do. But I'm not going to consider it one of the great tragedies in life if he doesn't get anything out of the doggone thing. Because he's going to have an NBA career, and it's going to be a lucrative one that's going to pay him a lot of money. The shoe contract would be a really great added bonus. Now, I realize that in Twitter and so forth, people take great delight in others' misery. Not at the moment having a shoe contract is not misery. Okay? Watching the elevator stop at the 6th floor at the Boston Children's Hospital, and they open up the doors and you see the cancer patients there, that's misery. Okay? That's the pure definition of misery. And heartbreak and despair for parents, family, friends, and so forth. Yeah, I just watched the movie Patriots Day. I realize it's a recreation of what happened 4 years ago. But all those people who lost limbs and so forth just because they showed up in a marathon, okay, that's misery, that's tragedy. Okay? Not working out a shoe deal. Like I said, if they get it, I'm happy for them. If they don't, who cares? I could care less. You know, the father wants to try and work out a deal for him and get something good for them. That's fine. If the shoe companies in this financial tug of war don't want to give him a dime, hey, that's their choice. But who cares? Is it big news? Not in my life. Doubt it's big news to you. Now, is it an area of curiosity? Well, it's an area of curiosity, absolutely. Hey, curiosity, talking point. But I think it's just really important that when you're sitting in chairs such as we sit in, that you do have a big picture outlook on things as to what is important and what is not important. And many of you can call in right now and give us your own stories. You know, I mean, look, I feel for the person. It's May 1st. I feel for the person that when it got to April 30th, they're sitting there looking around and said, I think I can make the mortgage this month. That person I feel for. And what's interesting for Mike Greenberg, and again, he wasn't over the top or anything like that. Like I said, I think he does a brilliant job in the air. But he's working in a company that just laid off 100 people, 100 of his colleagues. We're all sitting there right now on this day, still looking at each other in shock, saying, what do I do now? How do I get through this? I mean, those are, you know, I mean, real life. Shoe contract for Lonzo Ball? It's Seriously. Big picture, who cares? We'll come back, wrap it up in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Imagine getting behind the wheel and looking forward to your journey ahead. If when you turned your car on, it did the same for you. Sunbury Motors Lincoln in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza in Sunbury has the full 2017 Lincoln lineup ready to invigorate your driving experience with affordable American luxury. Well-qualified buyers can take advantage of $4,000 cash back and 0% for 72 months on the luxurious 2017 Lincoln Navigator, or lease a new 2017 Lincoln MKX all-wheel drive for $363 per month for 36 months. Sunbury Motors Lincoln is your destination for affordable American luxury. Located in Sunbury in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza and online at sunburylincoln.com. Financing with Lincoln AFS with approved credit. Lease based on stock number LB738, 10,000 miles per year and $3,900 total due at signing. Zero security deposit, tax and fees extra. Offer ends 5/3/2017.
All right. How many times have you seen on highlights somewhere a marriage proposal on the big screen, right? On the big board, then they show it to you later.
Last night at the Red Sox Cubs game,
the Red Sox won the game 6-2. They took 2 out of 3 from the Cubs. Very nice.
And this guy proposes to his girlfriend courtesy of the video board. And she said no. She said no. I mean, this guy is... feeling 2 inches tall. And then it turned out that some people have some video of the couple arguing up on the party deck. So he's just been rejected in front of thousands of people.
Were there lots of booze?
I don't know. And she has been put in a terribly awkward position. I mean, she's in a really awkward position.
It doesn't happen much, but boy, when it does.
Oof. I mean, two words come to mind. Epic fail. Wow.
Poor guy.
Well, yeah, but again, she's in an awkward position. I mean, I think of her part, too. Yeah. What, do you say yes just to make him look good, then tell him no later? She didn't want to marry him. Or she didn't like the fact that it was done in public like that, too. I don't know. They're not going to be guests on this show, I can tell you that.
Your station for news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and on WKOK.com.